actually, we probably have to come back to it next week, believe it or not. You probably wondering how in the world can we come back to one verse, but it's just kind of the way it is with God, you know. God says one thing, and it just has so much. Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but every word, right? And so I know most of you will probably be familiar with this song. Even when we were children, a lot of us had to memorize Psalm 23, right? Y'all remember that? Whatever, you stand before the church and stand before a Sunday school class or whatever you had to do, and you had to quote the, what was the memory verse? Y'all ever have to do that? What was the memory verse today? And so Psalm 23 just been there for us for year after year after year. And so I know you know the verse, but it's just like watching a good old movie. So I want to look at this one verse and spend a little time there this morning and for the next few minutes, and then we'll call it a day and try to visit it again next week, all right? So if you're physically able to stand, you can look at it on the pages in your own Bible, or you can read it here from the screen. But I want to read this one verse, Psalm 23 and verse 6, in your hearing. And then let's see if we can unpack it a little bit to see what's the treasures, you see? What treasures are embodied within this verse. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Lord, we bless you today. We praise you. We confess that it's such a wonderful honor and blessing to be in your presence. Thank you for keeping us through another week. And every way we've experienced your love and care and mercy. In the words of the prophet, your steadfast love never ceases. Your mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. And so we're so thankful when you pulled back the curtain of this day, we saw mercy, Lord. Mercies. Mercies, mercies, mercies. And just reminding us that God is still faithful. Great, great, great is your faithfulness. And so draw near to us now. You know we all need your help here. This morning, our gathering is just in vain if you don't meet with us, Father. So meet us here in the Spirit. Fill this room with your presence. Fill each heart with your joy and your love and just the sweet, sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. Come now. Come now, Lord, and meet with us today. Meet with us today, Lord. Take us to the mountain where we can commune with you today. Just enjoy you in this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you, and you may be seated. We're still thinking through this subject matter of God being good. Yeah, God is good. And you might remember we've covered this in a few texts in Luke 18, where Jesus was interacting with the young man. We saw him revealed to us that only God is good, right? Only God is good. And so it's always, for the Christian, that's what we depend upon that. We depend upon that. We know that only God is good. We saw in Romans 8 when we looked at that text that God is good as he has rolled out this plan of redemption. And oh my, what a wonderful plan. There's no flaws, no errors, no weaknesses, no places for Satan to tear things down. It's a perfect plan. Glorious plan of redemption, isn't it? And that's why we can rest here today. The plan of redemption is just wonderful. And God has proven that it comes from his heart of goodness. So in James, last time, that God is good as we have to face the trials and temptations in life. And there are many, right? James says that there are trials of various kinds. And yet, God is good. Oftentimes for us, we really don't see the goodness until you turn back and look, right? Look at what he brought you through and see that there's benefit, right, that has come. You see, we got hindsight like God has for that. You know, he knows the end from the beginning. And I'm going to be quite honest with you. Sometimes, even when we look back, you can't see. You know, we don't understand. And so you just have to, what, trust in the Lord with, what, all your heart. And don't lean to that. You don't understand why you went through something. Well, that's all right. Just trust God that he's, what is he doing? Causing what? All things to work together for good. And so God's goodness is observable. It's experiential. And those of us who have walked with Christ, or Christ has walked with us, or however you want to think of it, We've observed God's goodness, and we've experienced it as the Good Shepherd has led us in life. And my wife and I were talking about this this weekend as we were praying, particularly as I think about my past couple of years. You know, there are times when God is with you, and you just know he's with you. You see, he's along with you. But there are other times you just know he's carrying you. Yeah. You remember those times? When he just carried you, when you know you didn't have strength. And he just carried you through. So we've experienced, we don't need other people to tell us about that. That's one of the wonderful things. We live in a society where people don't want to get old. Oh my, they don't know what they're missing. Right? I mean, think of it. Think of what all of this experience of God's goodness that you have. And I think heaven's going to be sweeter. You see, when we finally get there, we can behold the Lamb that made it all possible. And we just look upon him and know that we're there because of him. Yeah? And then today, I want to address a little bit wider range of God's goodness. We've talked about it some, but you know, we can't exhaust the subject matter. I just want to talk about it a little bit more today, and maybe a little bit next week, and we may be done with it, but I don't know. We just have to see what God has to say about it after that. And so I want to talk about God's goodness in the Old Testament. Now, my plan was to talk about God's goodness in the Old and the New, but God has convinced me that less is better. So the old preacher's learning that you don't have to cover everything in one message, and so we'll see how much we can get done with just looking at the Old Testament today. All right? You all ready? All right, let's go. So when we think about God's goodness in the Old Testament, One of the things I observed is that he provides the essentials for life. The essentials for life. There's a verse in Nehemiah 9 and verse 25. Listen to it. Speaking of God's blessing Israel, it says, "And they captured fortified cities and a rich land and took possession of houses full of good things, cisterns already hewn, vineyards, olive orchards, and fruit trees in abundance. So they are and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in your what? Great goodness." Yeah, and your great goodness. And so God is the one who, he knows our needs, and he provides them. What does Paul say? "My God shall what? Supply all your needs, all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And just think, all of the years of hard work cultivating land and planting these crops and watching them develop and mature over the years, and all of the hard labor that was it took to construct houses and in these communities, and all of the generations that has spent and invested time, and then God graciously and generously gives it to his people. Isn't that wonderful? They didn't earn it. They didn't work for it. You see how good God is? He just gave. He just gave it to them. Gave it to them. Gave it to his people. Things that others had worked so hard for. Understand it. We don't need to. You see, I'm going to tell you something. I think sometimes we can be like Peter, and we don't know, or we don't receive from God the way we should. You see, you know, when God's giving you a gift, you don't have to figure it out. Right? As the song just said, I just want to say what? Thank you. This is amazing. Gave them all of, you remember the description here? All of this rich land and these fertile crops, and they were already, the work had already been done. Houses already built. Think of it. All they had to do was what? Move in. This is what a great God we serve. How good he is. And then God also promised to open the heavens to give them rain in due season. Because he knew that they would, not only do you need the crops, but you need God to provide the sunshine and the rain, you see, for them to grow. And he does it. He does it. So we're so richly blessed, and that's what he did for those in the Old Testament. And I just want to remind us here today that he's doing the same thing, right? Doing the same thing for us. So he provides essentials for life. The next thing that I see when we think about God's goodness is that he provides protection and deliverance. So if you can turn to Psalm 31. And verse 19 is an interesting verse here. It says, "Oh, how abundant is your goodness." Well, I can stop right there, but I have to keep on reading. "Oh, how abundant is your goodness which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you in the sight of the children of mankind. You see it? Protection. God is good to those who run to him for protection. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of need. And those of us sitting here now who've had some years of experience, you know what that's like, to run to the Lord, a very present help. And then 109 and verse 21. Psalm 109 and verse 21, and it reads, "But you, O God, my Lord, deal on my behalf for your name's sake, because your steadfast love is what? Good. Deliver me." That's what he does. He provides protection and deliverance. Why? Because believers experience dangers in life. We experience persecutions in life. We experience affliction. See, when you come to the Lord, he doesn't make you exempt from the experiences of life. You go through them, James. That's the reason James would say you're going to have trials of what? Various kinds. But we have the Lord who promises, "I will be with you. I'll never leave you," right? "Nor desert you. I won't leave you in that trial alone." And so divine protection, divine deliverance from dangerous people, from dangerous circumstances is essential as the Christian moves through life, because we are working through dangers, what? Seen and unseen. Yeah. We got an enemy. We got a whole, there's a whole world out there that we can't see of adversaries that's working against us. And that's the reason we need divine protection. There are times that I'm amazed that what God protects us from at my house. And I don't know about you, but I know that he has to. The Bible says that his angels are ministering servants, and I just believe God, he places that hedge around us. Yes. You see? Now, that doesn't make us immune to all of the trouble, but there are times that I've said it before, you wake up and you know you slept with your door unlocked, or you step with the, garage up or whatever the case may be, and you realize God took care. Have you ever thought about how vulnerable you were while your door was unlocked and you just slept? You had no idea what was going on, when anyone could have entered your house. Yeah? And those of us that have, sliding doors, to come in from the patio. I know we try to protect there, but you realize how easy. I mean, locks don't stop thieves. We know that, right? Surely we know that. Surely we know that. And so God protects. He protects and delivers. You got to be thankful for that. You got to be thankful for that. Particularly, I think about all the widows that God has placed among us. And those of you who live single, you see, particularly single women. You got to understand this. God is your protector. Yeah, that's the reason you can sleep with peace at night. It's a wonderful thing. But you see, it's because he's good. It's because he's good. Not because we've earned it, not because we deserve it. It's because he's just good that way. I don't know how to best say it. He's just good that way. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to keep moving. I told y'all, less is best. And so there's another Psalm, 86 and verse 5. And it says, "For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you." That's it. God provides forgiveness for our sins. Forgiveness for our sins because he is good. "For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving." You see, believers from every generation have sinned and will continue to sin as even as we grow in Christ, even as we grow in sanctification, we will continue to sin. Now, as the preacher said in Ecclesiastes, there's not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Ecclesiastes 7:20 and 1 John said, "If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself." You deceive yourself, and what? The truth is not in you. And so, it's a reality. That even as saints and as we grow in grace and grow in sanctification, we still sin. That's the reason he would go on in the next verse and say, "But if we confess our sins," what? "He's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us." Because God knows we need it. We need forgiveness. We need cleansing. Yeah? And so it's out of his goodness that he provides this cleansing. I mean, even when you think through some of the terminology in the Bible calls some saints blameless. You know, you've seen that word in the Bible? Noah was a righteous and blameless man. Abraham was blameless. And I mean, you go to Job and different ones, it calls them blameless and righteous. It even goes to the New Testament, and the officers in the church are to be blameless. And Ephesians 1 says that all of you, God has chosen every saint to be blameless in Christ. And so what does that mean? Blameless doesn't mean sinless. You see? Blameless just means that you deal with your sin when God reveals it. You see? Blameless as it refers to the sin that you know about. Paul would say, "When I examine myself, I don't see anything, but I leave the examination to the Lord." You see? Because he said, I know I haven't arrived. And so, this is a wonderful thing to know on this journey that God forgives sins. And only God's forgiveness can take away the penalty of sin, take away the power of sin, take away the guilt and the shame of sin. Only divine power can reach in and do that. Nothing else does it. All of these other religions, they cannot do this. No other faith can take away the penalty and the power of sin. No other faith can take away the shame and the guilt that you feel, that cloud that's over you. But when you come to Christ, and you find in him that he sets you free. Why does the Bible say you're free? I'm free from that. I'm free from the penalty, from the power, from the guilt and the shame. Why? He took it on himself. I'm free from the weight of trying to live good and do good, you see, good enough to please God. Aren't you thankful for that? Yes. He forgives. He forgives. He forgives. He forgives. On this journey, we just need forgiveness. Even when we know the right thing to do, we don't do it. Come on now. There's some wonderful verses. Psalm 103, verses 11 and 12 say, as far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. Far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Isn't that wonderful? To know that when God says you're forgiven, he won't bring it up again. He's not like us. He's not like us. You say you forgive somebody, but all it takes is, you know, them to cross you one way, and here comes the same old thing that you said you'd forgiven them for. But God, when he forgives, he cast it. Isaiah 38:17. Behold, it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness. But in love you have delivered my life and from the pit of destruction, for you have cast my sins behind your back. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my, 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 my. And of course, many of you will be familiar with Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Yeah. Yeah. Those times when you want to be clean, it's just a wonderful thing to know that God is the only one that can do it. And he'll do it. What's the old thing? Say, won't he do it? I shouldn't have gone there. But it's just, he will. He will, he will, he will, he will, he will. And the last thing we're going to take a look at is Psalm 65:4, as we think about God providing a place of worship. You ever thought about that? 65:4. Blessed is the one who chose and bring near to dwell in your courts. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. God in his goodness provides a place of worship. You see, a place of worship is not essential. And y'all think with me now. We don't have to have a place. Many in the past, in the present, and in the future will worship without a place. We don't see it much in our country, but if you're familiar with the activities around the world, many people have to worship without a place right now. Yeah? Right now. The thing that we must have, as John says in John 4, is we must worship God in spirit and what? And in truth. That's what's essential to worship God. You remember interacting with this Samaritan woman who said, in this place is where we were. We got to worship you in this place. God says, you don't even understand. God is what? Spirit. And those who worship him must worship in what? Spirit and truth. And so a place is not essential, but God is so good that he still gives a place. He gives a place to his people. So what I want you to see is that when we have a place, it's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gracious gift from God. And so as you look at that little list there, that's just a quick survey. You know, There's some restaurants, and not a lot of them now, but some restaurants still serve buffet style. I don't know why I talk about food at this time in the service, because I know some of you ain't gonna stay with me. But there are some restaurants that serve buffet style, right? And we've all been to some of them. And the thing about it is that it's a good thing, at least for those of us who like buffet, because you get to see before you make your selection, right? Yeah, look at all the people grinning. Y'all grinning more about this than you were with any of this stuff here. But this is real. This is real. And so you go to that buffet and you walk through the line, and you know, sometimes if you're wise, you need to walk around the line before you start picking, right? Because you start picking at first, and then you realize you should have waited. You're a little bit later down the line, right? And so the thing is, though, even though all the selections may be good, you can only choose a few for one meal, right? And that's what I've done here, is that, I mean, all of it, it's just a litany of God's goodness, but I had to choose just a few. And so y'all understand that nobody's going to walk away this morning and think that if you understand these, you understand all of God's goodness. No. I just picked a few items off the buffet. Yeah. Just a few items. And as I said, since less is best, I had more, but I'm going to stop there and just try to bring it all to a conclusion. So even though God is good to everyone generally, God, these things are uniquely and specifically promised to believers, uniquely and specifically promised to saints, uniquely and specifically promised to those of us who have trusted in Christ as Savior and Lord. And so I think, as we kind of summarize everything, I think it's fair for a statement for me to say that virtually every believer listening to me, whatever your housing accommodation may be, that you did not physically construct your housing accommodation. Now, and so you can think about your own housing accommodation and see that it's a gift from God. And even more, you think about how God gave you the funds to be where you are. Amen. It's not because you're so worthy, and I hope no one is so, I can't think of any better word than arrogant to think that. You say, well, it's because I worked hard and I earned my money. Come on. You wouldn't have had a job if God had not what? Given it to you. God says, so he had to tell Israel, don't forget that I'm the Lord. I'm the one that gives you wealth. Yeah? I'm the one that does it. And so every one of us, regardless of where you worked, it was a gift from God. Yeah, you had to go through the processes But hopefully, as you went through the processes of applying or whatever you had to do, you can look back now and see the grace of God on you, the goodness of God. Think of all of those that didn't make it in, that didn't make it through. And so you just think about your own housing accommodation, and it's just in this room right now. Think of it. Nobody... And even though I remember Brother Ernest did a lot of work on his house, but he didn't have to start from scratch, right? And even, you know, anybody else in the room or on Zoom. So what? It's a gift. It's a gift from God. Somebody else built it. Yeah? And so We can see that. We can see that. Just as I said, His goodness is observable. It's experiential. And so just as we see with these Old Testament saints, we can see that God has been good to us in providing the necessities, what, the essentials of life. Amen? Yeah, and it didn't mean that we don't have to work. Now, they had to work once they got the food and the housing, just as we do, but it was a gift from God. And God is most assuredly the one providing these essentials of life. He is the one providing divine protection for you, right? Protection, protecting your possessions, as we already discussed. I talked about protecting you when you sleep, but think of how God protects your possession, protects the very thing that He's given you. God is the one providing that protection, protecting you from danger seen and unseen. You know that God alone is the judge and justifier, and He's the only one that can forgive sin, taking away the weight of sin. You've got to remember that weight that was on you before you came to Christ, that weight that you tried to camouflage every day, every week, every month, every year, walking around with that weight on you. And then Christ came and lifted the weight. God alone is the one who removes that weight, removes the penalty, the power, the sting of sin, fear. God, the Bible says He removes the fear of sin. He removes the shame and guilt of sin. And eventually He's going to remove the very presence of sin. Only God can do that. That's the reason we know that He's good. And every member of TCC knows that this place of worship is a gift from God. Virtually every bank we applied to turned us down. We're too small. We hadn't been together long enough. We don't have enough income. Let's see. But God opened the door with one little bank. One. Only one. Only one bank. Little tiny bank in Warrenton, Missouri said, "We'll finance it." God's good. Only one. Only one bank. Can't tell you how many banks turned us down. God opened the door. And they've been with us on this journey. You know what? We've never missed a payment. Amen. Let me tell you something even more. I know most of you probably don't know this, but we're actually paying almost double in each payment every month so we can get this loan paid off. Now you think of that. While churches are closing their doors, God keeps, by your generous hearts, you see, by your generosity, God is proving how good He is. Now I'm sure this bank is surprised. We have to provide our finances to them. They know how many members we got, you see. And yet we're almost doubling our payment every month. Isn't God good?
Yes, He is.
So this place of worship is a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift from God to us. So we thank Him. We thank Him. God's protection and deliverance is a gift. And all the necessities of life is a gift from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no varying a shifting of shadows. He's been good all along. All along the journey, God has been good to us. Mm-hmm. And these are just a few select things from the buffet of God's goodness, proving that his goodness and mercy has been following me. His goodness and mercy has been following you. His goodness and mercy has been following us all these days. Wherever we had to go, goodness and mercy. See, that's the thing. Goodness and mercy doesn't just go with you when things are good and when it's easy. Goodness and mercy is with you when you're having those rough times. Goodness and mercy is with you when you get the bad medical report. Goodness and mercy is with you when you got the when you're looking at your finances and you know that you know that you're in trouble. Goodness and mercy is with you when things around the house need work and you don't have the money. Goodness and mercy are with you when you know the case. See, goodness and mercy is also with you when you get that help that you weren't expecting. Goodness and mercy is with you when you surprise the doctors and they had a different diagnosis, but God said something different, you see. Goodness and mercy is with you when your neighbors are looking and wondering, how can you afford another vehicle? And they can't. And so you know, you understand what I'm saying. Goodness and mercy is with us not just in the good times, but it's with us whatever you might call all the circumstances. Goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me all. Is that right? Is that what it says? All. If it's following you all, then it has to follow you in all of the circumstances. Not only all the days, but through all of what? All of the circumstances. And so goodness and mercy followed you here today. That's the reason you're here. Isn't that good? For those of you on Zoom, goodness and mercy is with you. That's the reason you're here with us. Goodness and mercy. Okay. Less is best. Less is best. And this is why we are thankful and give thanks to God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, every day and in every way, because God is good and his goodness and mercy continues to follow us all the days of our life. And if someone is here or listening to us by Zoom and you don't have a right and righteous, real relationship with Christ, you know you haven't been born again. I just want you to know that you can come into this sphere of God's goodness and mercy, but you got to come. You got to come. You can't stand off and look at it. You got to come. And as Jesus said, taste it for yourself. Taste and see, right? You got to taste it for yourself. So come and believe on him, and you will see he'll change your life forever. Father, thank you so much for these few minutes that we spent together in your presence. And we ask you now to take these feeble words of mine and use them for your glory. We just thank you for the way that you have cared for us in this little flock, and the way you have proven to us that you are good. We know for certain that you are good, and that your goodness and mercy has and will continue to follow us all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. And I don't often do this, but I want to circle back to a song that we just played, because now I want you to think about some of the real